All right, when this, about 13 months ago, when we got together in a living room to pray about starting a new church, I did not foresee this in 1 year, all these people. So I'm pretty excited from 10 to how many have been here. God has been good to us this year, has he not? Yeah. We have some people who have courageously said that they would come up and speak in this microphone today. So we're going to intertwine some people. And if you, you know, maybe you're feeling like you need to say something today, your life has changed over this last year and you've been nervous to sign up to say it, but you say, I got to get up here. I cannot contain myself. I need to hold on to this microphone. You just tap me on the shoulder and let me know. But I have two people right now that are going to be coming up, not Scott. I have two people that are coming up right now. Samela and Miss Peggy, and they're going to share a little bit of how God has worked in their life this year. And Samela's going to start, so come on up, Samela.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay, I'm going to empty my pockets of this tissue because I have a cold and I might need it later. I wrote this whole thing. I try to narrow it down because, you know, this year has been kind of a lot of changes for us and our family. So first of all, I started off by saying, how can I sum up what God has been doing in my life this past year? So this year has been a lot of changes. First, we left our old church where we'd been for 13 years. I completed part of my degree. I closed my daycare business for 13 years, got a job, and let go of all the stuff for the daycare business. So that was huge. So the writer in me is going to give you two synopses. The first one, happily married with two children, have a church life, school, work, but something just wasn't right. Something inside me wasn't right. This has been like maybe even longer than a year, maybe a couple of years. It's not as though I wasn't trying to release it or figure out what was wrong with me. You know, I kept trying, but just couldn't shake it. Okay, second synopsis is the 9-year-old child that experienced like a lot of things, arson, and I try to narrow it down so you kind of just get a, you know, slight picture of the things, but abuse, uprooted, police protection and lies, and this was all in about 4 months. This is when I was 9. But this past year, God stripped me of a lot of old things to prepare me for the new, you know, life and new plans he has for me and my family. And I don't know what that is still yet, but I know he's working a lot of things for us. So part of this would be to strip me of my need to be in control, my need to be strong, the part of me that for you, those of you who really know me that hates to cry, to me it's a weakness. Anybody else can cry. It's okay for you to do that, but not for me. And that's because the 9-year-old said, you can't cry. And the other thing I was really having issues with was not hugs. You know, it was okay with my family, but not to hug anybody else, you know. But this is because the 9-year-old child was still holding on to things. The 9-year-old said, it's okay, no big deal what happened. You are strong. You don't need to cry. You aren't weak like your mom who didn't raise you. It will make you tough to not cry. So fast forward a little bit, okay. I don't trust easy. Did not really trust Carrie this past year.
I still don't trust her.
Okay, Scott.
Or Laura.
No, I don't trust Laura either. Where is she? Okay. Up to a few months ago, kind of weary of her, weary of the church and this whole Northside church. Very weary of it. I'm sorry, I'm being honest. It's not probably my best quality to have, but. Yeah, I'm attending the church, I'm going, I'm teaching, but I'm not really a part of the church, just don't trust. But in the spring, Carrie asked me to go to a retreat, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. But of course, you know, I must have trusted her a little. And actually, I must have trusted her a whole hot heck of a lot because she had us over for dinner and she prepared food for us. And we actually went, you know, so I must have trusted her a little more than I thought. So, okay. So, okay, so I wasn't able to get off and go, you know, so then I said, okay, I'll go in September, you know, but took forever for my job to decide if I could go. So by this point, I'm thinking, I don't want to go. Taking too much time for them to decide. I just can't go. And then all these Northside members going to be there. I'm not sure I want to go too. Yeah. Okay, but inside, I knew if I did go, I was going to cry. I knew the 9-year-old child that had held all this stuff inside was really going to cry. But did she want to cry? Did I want to cry? But God worked out for me to go. Last minute, finally figured out everything so I could go. And what God showed me there was that I was holding on to that 9-year-old child. And by the end of the weekend, I did cry. And I mean a wounded animal cry. You never heard anything like this kind of cry. Because God told me that he loved me. And I'm probably going to cry now. And that the people at this church loved me. And it was okay when I was 9 to do this, just not cry. But it's not okay now. And it was time to release it and give it to him and leave it with him. And I actually like hugs a little more too now, like, Lord. Okay. I didn't give my hug today. Okay, so that's basically it. And then the end, there were a couple of songs when I was on my way to work that, and I'm not going to sing it because I don't want to, you know, kill anybody here, especially when you have this cold. But a couple of the lyrics were, I'm in better hands now. I'm strong, and my hope is in you, Lord. Peace that passes understanding. And I am strong, but it's not in me. It never was in me. It was in the Lord Jesus. And then Carrie asked me, what was I going to do with what happened to me? Just keep trusting God like I've been doing this past year. And remember that crying is cleansing. It's not a weakness. Now, I'd like to say I like to cry now. I'm not sure about that, but I know I won't hold on to it now and just allow the tears to flow. Thank you.
I basically was always a shy person. After I went to work, I became more outgoing as long as there was something between me and the person. But, you know, she's a hard act to follow. I don't like this. this has been a very hard year for me. And she says she doesn't like to cry. And I don't know if I like to cry, but I do cry. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. So I'm a crier. And so if you see me crying, no, I cry for so many reasons. But the church came into my life in April. I mean, Ms. Samella has been helping me, you know, with the boys. And they started coming to Northside. And finally, I guess it took the death of my daughter to bring me to the church. I have always wanted to go to church. And I did as a young child, always went to church, had a good life. But as I got older, different things happened, like it does to everybody. And I never could find the right church. It always seemed that there was something that wasn't, you know, fulfilling to me. But when I came to this church, well, first of all, Carrie and all of you who helped me when my daughter Renee passed away. I thank you so much. I thank you. And you've been there for every minute for me, every minute since then. And yes, it is hard for me, yes, sometimes to communicate to God. I do pray, but I guess I have like an inferior complex and think my prayers aren't that all that great. It sounds funny, but that's the way I feel. I do pray, and I love God, and I know He will get me through everything that I need to get through. My four grandchildren are beautiful. You all are so good to my grandchildren, and I love you all. Thank you.
Hello. First, I would like to start off by saying, praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
And I am so blessed to be here. I would say I would be nervous, but I know everybody. And all of you all know me. So I'm really not that nervous, but as Carrie, she emailed and said, what was I going to talk about? I didn't know. But as all night, all morning, I'm like, maybe I should wear all white to the church. Right? But then I thought about, you can't wear white out the same day. But the reason I was wearing white was because, if you can just visualize with me, I feel at Northside, God has blessed me like, you know how you're supposed to be a virgin when you get married and you can wear all white? And but at Northside, I feel I can wear any white anytime and any color because you all accept me. Regardless of whether I was wearing white, black, pink, or blue. And when you wear white, let me get it right, when you're wearing white on that day, it's like you're pure. But as I've been saved, God has made me pure. So it's okay for me to wear white. And the North Side, I feel so, so pure. Like it's okay to be me. At Northside, God has blessed me with wonderful, wonderful people. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family. God has let me get out of my shell. If you all know, I'm really kind of strict when it comes to kids. You hear my son saying, yeah. But here at Northside, I've learned that it's okay to let my kids go out. Miss Carrie took my kids to Great America. Do you actually think I would let anybody take my kids anywhere? But I'm comfortable enough here to let my kids go. My kids went to the Great Awakening for the teenagers. Well, yeah, for the teenagers. The best experience of their lives. Do you all know I even let them stay home the next day? From school? And I would have never. It really was a big deal. Because my kids do not miss school. But here, looking at everybody, these beautiful people, I just want to say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because I feel so good. I feel so good to be in you all's presence. And I have to throw this out here. Carrie, you know, when I first met you, I didn't like you either. Sorry. But you gotta realize something. But I tell you this now, I love you, my dear sister, with all my heart. I love you so much. You've done so much for me and my children. Everybody has. I can walk in this church and leave my kids and know they are okay. God has took a weight off my shoulder. I went to the banquet. My beautiful and wonderful sister has been saved,
Yeah, baby.
So now, me and her, when we're talking about God, when we're on this journey, because we're on this journey together, all of us, when I sit and I'm with my sister, it feels so good, and it feels so real. I mean, I feel that I'm on this high that I can't even explain. It's a high that is like higher than anything. Yes, I do believe I can move mountains because I have that much faith in my Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I do know each and every one of you all love me. And you just love me because who I am. Because no, I was not here when I walked through here, but I am now through God's love and his grace. So I'm just saying, this year, I've broken down barriers when it comes to my kids. I hope I'm getting better. When it comes to people, I'm trusting more. And I'm learning that it's okay to accept because I do give. And I'm learning that it's okay to accept the things. Like a drum set from Barb. It's okay to accept little things. Because you can't keep giving without taking something for yourself.
Yes.
So at Northside, God has shown me, I could just say love. I could just say here at Northside, I've seen so much love this whole year. And so I mean, overwhelming love. Love that you can't explain. And I'm so happy to be a part of this family. And I wouldn't change it for anything. I am truly and totally blessed. So that's how, I mean, Northside is my family, and I love you guys. And thank you.
I'm fairly new here, so I'm going to introduce myself and tell you a little bit about my background. My name is Frank Carrolls, and I've been religious all my life. I was raised Catholic, and I've been searching and searching for a church where I fit in. And I did a thing that I call the church tour, where I'd go to a different church for 2 or 3 weeks and see. And I found that they all were the same, where you just come and praise, and then everybody goes on their merry way. But here was different, except the first 2 weeks, though. I would sit here and wait, and no one would talk to me. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, too. And it's like, okay, they're just waiting to see if I come back. And sure enough, the third time, I was shocked. Carrie and her husband took me to their home. We broke bread, and... another thing, I came in at the right time that drew me here more than anything is the five fears, because I was going through like 4 out of the 5 at the time. Yeah. Okay, so that helped a lot. And like I said, they brought me into their home. We broke bread. And the fall of July thing? No, fall, what is it?
Fall of July.
Okay, fall of July. That was really nice to get out of the city for a while. It was great. And then ever since then, it's like, all right, I found my home. I found where I belong. Finally. So I hope you all consider me a permanent member, because I will be coming all the time. And I accept you as my friend and family, because I really don't have anybody right now. And I'm glad you accept me for who I am and what I am. Thank you. Another thing too is what drew me here is this. Okay. All right. Wait. I almost forgot about this. Somebody talked me into coming to the Andersonville Fest. I lived downtown at the time, and I'm very observant, and I said, well, let's check this out. So we did, and we made spin art. And I, you know, then they gave me the flyers they have with the movie nights and all that. And if you would ask me in June if I would ever be in this area, I would never in a million years would I thought I would be living in this area. And then come July, an opportunity came up, and here I am. So when I was unpacking my stuff, found this and the little flyers, and it's like, another thing that drew me here too is like the 1045 thing, because I can that I can do. I can do that. All right, 8 or 9, no, because it's 1045. I could do that, and I still have it. And I really appreciate you guys, and I found my home finally. Thank you.
You when I met you. I don't know.
Me too.
Okay. I didn't write all of it out because I just kind of. I just wanted it to come from the heart, so I kind of had like little pointers to, you know, write down. So, you know, when you're 18 and, you know, you're out of high school, you think you know it all, you got it all figured out, you know what you want to do, you know where you want to go, you know how you're going to get there. Only thing I didn't know is that I didn't know anything. At that time, you know, you just kind of try to find your own way. And I knew about God because, you know, my mom took me to church when I was younger. And I was always the first one there at VBS at 7. So that was always my favorite part. but I didn't know him like I know now. So my roommate, who I won't say who it was at the time, Courtney. Okay. I've known her a whole 16 years, my honey bun. Okay. So she, you know, always went to church, and when you guys decided to leave Devon, you know, she was at home on Sundays all the time, and, you know, finally the time came where it was time for you guys to start the church up, and, you know, she was all excited, and I was like, oh, that's nice. Okay, you know. I was like, okay, Cornessa, you get home. So so it just happened when I got home, she wasn't there, and I've never told you this, but it was a little bag on the coffee table. It was a little plastic, it was orange and gray, pixelated, and it looked like a little candy bag. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. What is that? Normally, I don't touch your stuff. So when I picked it up, it said, you know, Northside Community Church, and I flipped on the back, and, you know, it had the address and stuff. Laura gets mad at me because she says I didn't call her because apparently her info and stuff was there, but that's neither here nor there. So that little bag was really what got my attention because, you know, it's been plenty of times that, you know, you get invited to church or whatever, but it was just something about that bag. I cannot explain it, and from what I know, and Laura told me, Courtney wasn't even supposed to get a bag. It was just something that they were just passing around. No, she didn't take it. So for that to come, so it just so happened that November, which is last year, I got selected to go to flight attendant training. So, you know, can you imagine, you get to see everything, you're so excited, and I was like, okay, so saw the bag, okay, guys, I'll see you guys in Houston, good day. So training was 3 weeks, every day we have a test, and every day it was fine, take a test, let's go. For some reason, on the second week, when you get to, you fail one time, you know, you get another one, but that second time, that's it. So I was sitting there, and it was the most insignificant test. It was about a different aircraft. We don't even fly. It was really like two differences on it. And for some reason, I just had this uneasy feeling, and I couldn't explain it. And I was just sitting there, and I held my paper, and I was like, and I never prayed before I turned in my paper, ever. So I sat there, and I was like, God, if you don't want this for me, it's okay. If you want to send me home, I understand. Guess what God did? He sent me home. I didn't mean it when I told him that, but I guess he took me for my word, I guess. I don't know. So and I was so mad at God. Like, I was so mad because I'm thinking, it's just a flight attendant job. I'm not asking for anything just major. I just want to, you know, fly and go. That's it. Like, why can't I have it? And coming to church and doing my discipleship with Carrie and doing the women's Bible study and just being here with all of you has just taught me that God just sometimes has a bigger plan for you. So once I got over my devastation with God and just all upset, you know, it's just, it's deeper than that. Now I can read my section I had for you guys. So in the discipleship, there was a certain section, and it's Romans 8:37-39. And it says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And no power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from God's love that is revealed in Jesus Christ, Lord. So I sat there and I was like, so nothing? Like, nothing? But I just want to thank all the board members that sat in that room that day when you guys were wondering if you guys should start up the church. Because even though I'm being self-absorbed and just say it's all about me, God let me be upset at him for a little bit to give me a lifetime full of happiness and bless me with all of you. So for that, I thank you guys so much for taking a chance, and you guys did good.
He didn't just dine with sinners, as we talked about last week. He also dined with the Pharisees. And he's telling them the story of what the kingdom of God is all about. So he tells the story about this banquet that this man is hosting. It's not a small picnic. It's not a lunch or meal like some of you have had at my house with Little Caesars and salad. It's not that at all. It is a banquet that takes time. And it was customary during this time that you send out a pre-invitation. It's like save the date. Corey and I just got an invitation to save the date for a wedding in June. It's important. The guest says, it's important that you're going to be there, so I want to make sure you don't book anything else on that day because I want you there. So that was what this man did. Save this day. I'm going to have this amazing banquet. So the time comes. All the food is prepared. Everything's in order. And so his servant goes out to tell people, hey, it's time. The party is ready. The food is cooked. The music is going. The lights are set. The candles are on. Everything's great. Come. And the servant goes out, and he finds out that the guests have made excuses. The first excuse is what? I bought a field and I must go see it. Who purchases a house, purchases a field, and then goes and sees it? That's crazy. crazy talk, right? That's like I gotta go wash my hair. I don't have time to come see you right now. If you're gonna buy a field, you go and investigate it. What's it look like? Are there wells? Is it safe? Can sheep go here? Is it good fertile soil? All those things. You don't buy it, then go check it out. The next one is, I gotta go purchase 5 oxen, yokes of oxen. Well, that's crazy talk too. That's like saying I'm not gonna be home for this special dinner you planned for 3 months because I just bought 5 cars. And I'm gonna go see what they look like now. It doesn't make sense. It was an excuse. And the last one, which might be a little more viable, I can't go, I just got married. You know, that changes things. You got the spouse that you have to bring. But why couldn't have this man just brought his spouse with them to the party? The excuses didn't make sense. What it comes down to is, I don't think your banquet is a priority. I don't think it's important enough for me to go to your banquet. I got other business to attend to. I got other things I need to do. Let me ask you this. Say you won the Powerball, you know, let's say 300 million. For the Mercers, 300 bucks, whatever it might be, okay? It's good cash. And you have 1 hour to get down to the lotto office to collect your money. Just 1 hour, and time is ticking. If that 1 hour expires, you're not getting that money. How many things would get in the way of you getting down to that lottery center? Would you cancel your job appointments? Would you call in sick? Would you say, I don't have time to watch the rest of this football game, I gotta get down to the lotto center now? Would you say, I don't have time to finish this email or text or check my Facebook or go on a play date or play Modern Warfare 3, whatever it is? You would get off your tushy, you would cancel your appointments, and you would get down to that lottery center for that 300 million. You do what's a priority to you. Or for instance, say you're in your house and you happen to look over at your neighbor's house and through the window you see some of these people. Let's see some of them. Let's go to the PowerPoint. Beyonce, she's next door. Or Neil Diamond, he's next door. Or one of the Beatles, he's next door, Paul. Pauly Shore, Laura, he's next door. Derek Rose, next door. Who else? I've seen your Twilight, I've seen your Facebook page, you like him. Or this guy, next door, all right? Oh, go back. So you see these people are next door, and maybe they're only gonna be there for a split second. You wouldn't first do your dishes, or finish your degree, or finish your homework, or wait till the kids grow up because it's too much of a hassle to get out of the house. You would get over there and see one of those people. I know, Courtney, you'd be going after Beyonce faster than I'd be going after Neil Diamond. You would be getting there. We make things a priority to what we want to see. But these people that were invited to the banquet, I got stuff to do. I got oxen to see, I got fields to look at, I got this wife now. My time is consumed. I cannot go. When the master heard this, he was ticked. He gave them warning. He said, I'm preparing this for you. I expect that you're gonna come. And when no one out of the invited guest shows up, he says, all right, servant, go out. Go get the people we don't normally invite to these banquets. Go get the lame, the blind, the beggars, the homeless. Go get them and bring them to this banquet because I want them to enjoy it. Now, these people that came, there's no way they could repay them. Kind of back in that time, you gave a favor. I invite you to this banquet, then in turn, next week, I will be at your banquet to enjoy your food. There's no way the people that now he's inviting can ever repay the favor, but they come. And then let's look at the scripture. Luke 14, 22 through 24 says this. After the servant had done this, after he had gone out and got the lame, the blind, the beggars, there's still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you can find to come so that the house may be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. So all those people come. The blind come. The lame come. The unwanted come. The undesirable come. The misfits come. The misfits come to the banquet. Never have found a place where maybe they were invited before, and never found a place where they were loved before. The misfits come to the banquet. And he says, we got more. So I want you now to cross out of our comfort zone. I want you now to go to the countryside. And it's kind of like this local party's turning global. I now want you to go out everywhere and invite people. But the beautiful part about this parable, it doesn't have an ending. It doesn't say, yep, and then we filled up. Or now the invitation's done, I'm tired of you going out. It's open-ended. This is an invitation that's open-ended. The servant is now going out continuously going out because there is still room at the banquet. And as we know, this is a parable. It has some meaning behind it. The banquet is eternal life. The banquet is a relationship with Christ Jesus. The banquet is what you've experienced when people have talked up here. They have found where they fit. They have found where they belong. It's not Northside Church. They have found Jesus Christ. We just happen to be representing them here. They have found that, and they have come to the banquet. But there's room for more. As you see, this is unending. This is open. So yeah, this is our first year celebration where we look back and say, there's only 10 people sitting in the room a year ago, and there's a lot more here, and our kids are included. There's about 40 kids over there today.
Wow.
There is room. So next year when we come together and we have our potluck banquet to celebrate what God has done, and we are in a whole different building because you know we got to leave this room. We're in a whole other building, and we're going to have people next to us that came to the banquet. And there's going to be 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 more people up here talking about what God has done and what how he has changed their lives forever. And how their families' lives have been changed. And how their marriages just aren't tolerable anymore. They're abundant. And how they can stand up in here and say, I'm pure. Those sins that I've done are forgiven and gone. And I am a new person in Christ Jesus. And people will come up here and say, that little child that I've been fighting for years is healed. And now I'm going to live the abundant life that Christ has died. And you're going to have people give those testimonies because that's what the banquet is. It's ongoing. And then when we come here for our third year celebration, there's 10 more new people standing up here saying what God has done. And they weren't here the year before, and they weren't here the year before that, but now they are. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But Northside, that's up to us. Because we now are that servants that go out and say, the invitation is here. The invitation is available to you. God is calling you into this life that is different from the life you currently live. He is saying that he wants to have this abundant life for you that you have no idea how great it can be. And then they come, and hopefully they talk to Frank when he comes back. And hopefully they like me after the first visit. And then they stick, and then they see the power of who Christ Jesus is. But who sits here next year? Is up to us. Because God's ready. His invitation is out there. He's already done the work. And he will be faithful to fulfill it all, as you've known in your lives and what testimonies we've heard today. But our job is to get the people here. So Northside, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited. And I want to run to this building like I'm running for my lottery ticket. I want to run to this building like I'm running to see Neil Diamond, whom I do love. Do I have a witness, Kelly?
Yes.
Yes, all right. We've been to a few concerts together. All right? I want to feel that way about doing God's work. And I don't want to put it off, and I don't want excuses from you guys. We're not too busy. We don't have agendas to do. We don't have things, because God is worth it, and you've seen what he does when we allow him to do it. So we're going to end with some worship. We forgot to do the offering. That's kind of who we are at Northside. We don't do that all that well. So if you're a guest here, you let that offering basket pass you. This is not for you. This is for people who claim this to be their home and to do the work here. Please let it pass by you. So we're going to worship and end, and then we're going to have a potluck. We're going to go get the kids because they're going to end with singing with us. So we're going to go get them, all right? So stand up.